This is the All Hoops Podcast. I am your host, Steven Inman, alongside Chris Burrito, and we have a ton to get to today. After baiting in our last show of the Boston Celtics with a team to beat in the East, the Cleveland Cavaliers have woken up. We also have another coaching change, and the Knicks have hit a skid. But before we get to all that, Chris, how are you?
Hey, Steve. Happy to be here, as always, on the All Hoops Podcast once again. A lot to get to today. I'm not happy with my Knicks right now. They've hit a little losing streak, but elsewhere in the NBA, things are getting back to normal, including the Knicks losing. Cavaliers are emerging once again. They've woken up. They've won, 9 straight games. It looks like they remember they were the Eastern Conference champions last year. So, you know, I'm really impressed by the way they've turned it around, you know, because we thought this team was on the way down, right? We thought, oh, this looks like an old team. This looks like it's a team that probably won't even contend against the Celtics in the East.
No, I didn't think that. I always thought
I think just the way the Celtics were playing, and just in compare that with the way the Cavaliers were showing up on the floor, it looked like they weren't even showing up. They didn't show any effort. But now that's changed, and I want to say the game against the Knicks probably turned that ship around. You know,
LeBron, they really had to work hard in that game,
for right? Sure. Because when they were down 20 points, I don't know what LeBron said to his team, but hey, like, they came back with a vengeance. They ended up winning that game, and they haven't looked back since. This is a different team. This is not the one that we saw a few weeks ago that we were questioning whether maybe LeBron wants to leave earlier than we thought. Right?
So would you say the effort level has been the biggest difference in this 9-game winning streak?
I think that, and I think also LeBron James is a prideful person. I think that once you have people questioning his effort, wondering whether or not he's still as good as he was before, I think that gets him going. We obviously saw with the Arthur meme stuff going on on his Instagram page, and getting his fellow teammates like Isaiah Thomas on board with the Arthur meme movement. I like to think that we're getting the team that we thought the Cavaliers are. And now with Isaiah Thomas projected to come back mid to late December, I think we'll finally see this team come to full fruition. But yeah, what do you think about the Cavaliers? What do you think has sparked this run?
I mean, do I think it's a coincidence that Derrick Rose leaves the team and the team all of a sudden goes on a big run? Maybe, maybe not. I'm not so sure.
That's messed up, Steve.
But I think right now this is just the ebbs and flows of an NBA season. You know, they got off to a bad start. We both believe that they were the best team in the East, as they have been the last 4 seasons. There's no reason to think they wouldn't get this going eventually, and they've done it in very impressive fashion. The question I now have is, now that they're back on top or near the top in the East, they're actually third in the conference right now, what do they need to get or acquire to get back to the Warriors level to make this Cavs-Warriors 4 a very good finals matchup?
Well, I think we need to wait for Isaiah Thomas to come back first, right? Because once you have another facilitator on the offense, now we know what type of team this can be, whether right now it's really LeBron James running the show, and he's putting up MVP numbers. Honestly, I think if the season continues the way it does, I think we can talk about LeBron James being the MVP this year. He's averaging 42% from the 3-point line. He's rebounding at a great rate. He's scoring, 29, 28 points per game?
He's incredible. And to see what he's doing with... Yeah, Kevin Love's been good. Kevin Love had a really big game last night. But other than him, there's really not a lot the Cavs have. Tristan Thompson's hurt. Derrick Rose is out. Isaiah Thomas is hurt. It's Love and LeBron. This might be LeBron's best effort yet. Because the numbers he's putting up, and to get other guys involved who on other teams probably aren't more than just role players, it's really impressive. And again, I think LeBron, you're right. He probably has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. He's a prideful guy, like you said. You know, this is a guy who was not even the top 3 in MVP voting last year. You know, so I think he's coming out with, you know, trying to put a little more emphasis on the regular season. He's got his buddy Dwayne Wade back, who has been coming off the bench. I think this is the team to beat in the East, and I think they'll get Isaiah Thomas back, and then they'll look to find a way to bring in another piece to eventually compete for that elusive second title in Cleveland.
You know, and I even think it's worth talking about, like, you know, the trade. We talk about the big Kyrie Irving, Isaiah Thomas trade, right? What, with Thomas out and the Cavaliers now winning, should they regret the Kyrie trade or not? What do you think, Steve?
I think it's too early to tell, Chris. I think, you know, obviously that trade, if you're Boston, you're really happy with that trade right now. Kyrie's been amazing, and they had a 16-game winning streak. They lost a couple days ago. They're on top of the East. But I think for the Cavs, it's too early because really what they do now is doesn't really matter. They can win 20 straight. They could win 45 games and sneak into the playoffs. It really doesn't matter. All that matters is what they do in the playoffs. And if they're able to go to another finals and potentially win another finals, then they won that trade because they built for the future as well as win now, which is what they were trying to do from the beginning because they weren't sure if LeBron would commit long term.
And you know what? I like the way they've regrouped themselves, and it's really hard to say that this trade, both teams are winners in this trade, frankly. Imagine, let's look at the Celtics for a second. If they didn't trade Isaiah Thomas, who knows if they're even in the top eight in the East right now? I mean, all the teams are pretty competitive. I mean, I would never count out a Brad Stevens coach team. But, you know, Marcus Smart would be running probably point guard on that team.
The one thing I would give Boston credit for is this. They really undersold the idea that Isaiah was hurt. Because you never really heard anything about Isaiah Thomas missing extended time in the regular season until days after the trade was completed. You never really heard, and maybe it's dishonest, I don't know, I should be giving them credit for that, but you never really heard that until he was already a Cavalier.
Well, that's not true, because that's how the Cavaliers managed to get another second round pick out of
that. Yeah, but after they had agreed to this deal. You know, that's, I think, true. If they knew Isaiah Thomas wasn't going to be back until the new year, they might not have done this deal. They might have instead decided we're going to go in another direction, or they might have said we need another pick to make this happen. So I think you have to give Boston credit for that. They got everything they could out of Isaiah Thomas, and then they moved on from him. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, unabashedly. All right, let's move to the West real quick. Big news out of Los Angeles. Blake Griffin is out for 2 months with MCL damage. You know, after losing Blake, Gallo, Patrick Beverley, should the Clippers sell their other pieces, like, you know, DeAndre Jordan? Because, you know, his contract will end at the end of the season.
Yeah, Chris. So DeAndre Jordan got a player option. I think it's around $24 million for next year. The way the NBA is going and the way these contracts are, he's probably going to opt out of that and look for a $100 million deal elsewhere. I think if you're them, you really have to explore his market because they're not going anywhere this year. Yeah, they won three straight. They're 8-11 on the year, but Gallo's not going to be back for a while. Blake, like you said, is missing 2 months. Pat Beverley, who gave them a nice little spark to start the year. Everybody remembers that game against Lonzo Ball to start the year where he shut him down. He's out for the year, too. So to me, the injuries are just too much. This Clipper team isn't going anywhere. There's not enough talent here with everybody hurt. They have to move on from Jordan, and they have to hope that they can get a piece back that can help them rebuild with Blake and Gallinari next season.
Well, you know, you gotta. For me, if I'm the Clippers, I'm thinking about, you know, just moving on from all the mediocre pieces that they have on the team.
Like, they have a lot of them.
They have, with the exception of maybe Blake, and I think the whole team is mediocre. Like,
I mean, I wouldn't hate on my guy Gallinari like that just yet.
Gallinari's, he's always injured, just like Blake, though. Yes. At some point, showing up is also part of your value as an NBA player.
Health is a talent. It's a skill.
It is a health. Look at LeBron James. I mean, I could probably count the amount of games he's missed in, like, the last few years on my hands. I mean,
Gallinari's probably missed more games this year than he's missed and LeBron's missing his career.
That's it's true. I mean,
season's a month old.
You're right. Conditioning. I mean, I don't know how much of it is conditioning, but I think a large part of why LeBron James has been so successful is because of his conditioning. Gallo may just be unlucky, and Blake too. And the Clippers.
So going back to Jordan, if you're the Clippers, do you move on from him?
I mean, I would try to see what Blake Griffin's trade value is once he comes back.
You're not looking at Jordan right now. You're looking at trading Blake.
I'm looking to rebuild that whole Clippers team. I think it's time to move on. I would start with DeAndre Jordan because he has an expiring contract. But then, you know, I mean, the Gallinari deal was dud.
It's too early for me to say that. We're a month in. They gave him a 3-year, $51 million deal. You know, think about how many guys are surpassing that. Damari Carroll has a bigger contract than that. Think about that. So I'm not ready to say it's a dud 1 month in. He could, in theory, get healthy and play a long time. He should be back a lot sooner than Blake. The thing with Blake is they gave him a 5-year, $173 million deal.
Jesus Christ!
Now with the injuries, he's going to be 29 in a couple months. I think they can move him, but are you going to get back a couple of picks and some players? I don't think so. You might be able to move that contract, but that's about it. And I think they're better off spending the money on him and hoping he's healthy than a bunch of role players. Because again, you have to be at the salary floor. It's not like they can just save the money. They have to spend it on somebody. So I'd rather spend it on him and hope he's healthy as a perennial NBA All-Star over a bunch of role players and hope they can make something work.
Well, that whole team needs like a top to bottom like revamp. they don't really have a starting point guard. You can't tell me Patrick Beverley's the starting point guard of the future. He didn't play point guard on the Rockets.
I think they were a little blindsided by Chris Paul leaving. He was, you know, with him, this team was a top 4 team in the West for years.
Oh, with Chris Paul.
With Chris Paul.
Oh, right. I thought you were with Patrick Beverley. I'm like,
and they replace
what
him
are you
with,
smoking?
They replace him with a bench guy. And a very good defensive bench guy, but he's a bench guy. He's not a starting point guard.
He's not. Yeah, you're right.
So, you know, they're really trying to find that next guy. Maybe what they do is they trade Jordan. They get a pick in the teens for him. Gallinari and Blake get healthy next year. They get a top 5 pick. They get a point guard of the future. And all of a sudden we're talking about a pretty good team.
Yeah, and
I'm not ready to blow it all up.
What do you think they should do with Austin Rivers?
To me, he's a role player. He's nothing. Yeah. So if you want to keep him and make Doc happy with coaching his son, or maybe they don't want to be on the same team. I'm not really sure about that situation, but
all right,
he's not making a ton of money, so you could move him. You're not going to get anything for him because he's making more money than a backup should. So he is what he is. I don't think that's even a discussion. Who cares?
All right. Let's talk about another West team that's also floundering. The Memphis Grizzlies. They've fired coach David Fizdale after 8 straight losses. The Grizzlies are, as of today's air date, 7-12. He was well respected amongst the NBA, right? Players around the league have been outspoken that Fizdale didn't deserve to be let go, including LeBron James, who said that, I need some answers because, clearly David Fizdale has the respect and coaching. He's well known amongst the NBA as someone who knows what he's doing. So I think it even puzzled me when I heard that because I actually like Fizdale as well. But reportedly it had to do a lot with Marcus Gasol, the Spanish center. He's obviously an all-star, but apparently they butted heads a lot and they weren't even talking at some point, which you gotta imagine that affected the losing streak that they're on. So the question is here, do you think Memphis is ready for a teardown? I mean, they're in a weird situation because they have Chandler Parsons, Conley, and with max contracts.
Yeah, so Chris, this is a really interesting situation because this is a coach that, you're right, the whole NBA loved. He was an NBA champion with the Miami Heat. He was Spoelstra's, I think he's Spoelstra's assistant coach when LeBron and the Big Three were in there. That's probably why LeBron loves him so much. Isaiah Thomas has spoken out saying that he believes, you know, this was a, you know, the wrong thing to do. But it's, the question is this: when you're not going anywhere, you've lost eight straight, you know it's not the coach's fault, but you can't fire Chandler Parsons. You can't undo Mike Conley's giant mega deal. The only thing you really can do is you can fire the coach making $2 million. So what should they have done here? I don't think they should have fired Frizzell, but they wanted to shake it up.
Honestly, I don't know what firing really accomplishes anything, because, you know, it's not like, I'm just disappointed because key players on that Grizzlies roster were injured, including Parsons again and Conley. Like, how can you expect the team to perform adequately without, you know, two of, like, their main players?
And don't forget this. They lost the heart and soul of that team when they let Zach Randolph go in free agency. He went to the Kings. He got a two-year, $16 million deal. They kept Jermichael Green over him. They were both free agents. They kept the younger guy. They have not been the same team without him. It's pretty clear that they need him back. Their whole identity was this, you know, tough-minded defensive team who plays very physical in a league of jump shooting. So they were always against the flow, and now they've lost one of their key contributors. I didn't really see how this was a playoff team, you know, with Conley and Parsons healthy. Now without those guys healthy, they had no chance. Fisdale didn't make a lot of sense. And I think Gasol moving now is the next logical step, as this team, unlike the Clippers, should fully rebuild.
You know what the thing... I think Marcus Sol would go great in a team like the Cavaliers or the Celtics, to be honest. I think that would put them over the edge.
I don't know if those teams can, like, have the cap room and the pieces to trade.
Dude, they always find a way to
fit. They always find a way
to fit these players. So that's, like, the least of my worries.
How about he goes to San Antonio? They have some cap room, and he goes to play with his brother.
I actually like that idea.
You know, they could use a center. LaMarcus Aldridge would rather play the four anyway. That's not a bad team.
Yeah, but
they probably need a point guard upgrade over anything, but that might be the way for them to get back in the Warrior level.
Wow, they should hire you as their GM, huh?
Maybe. I'm available.
I actually like that idea a lot. I think there's already a inbred chemistry there with the Gasols. I don't know, but it remains to be seen, right? Like, I think depending if they go on an eight game winning streak from now, I think we're talking something different now, right?
Sure.
So I think it's something we should monitor, obviously, and then maybe he'll be traded, maybe not. But I think out of the many centers in this league who are, like, being dangled as possible trade assets, I think he'll probably actually get a first round pick. I think he's actually a good enough player for that.
I think both of them, Jordan and Gasol, will get first round picks. I think he'll get the better package.
Right.
I
think you're right. Really quickly, let's talk about the Knicks. Knicks, after jumping up to a 10-7 record, they've lost three straight games. You know, part of it was because Enes Kanter has been banged up. He missed the last three games. Porzingis missed one of them. Have we seen the best of the Knicks? What do you think the goal should be right now at this point in the season?
I think it's a great question. I think we probably have seen the best of the Knicks. You know, they had that historically more home games than any team in the NBA.
9-3. Yeah.
You know, they're 10-10. They played seven road games. They're 1-6 on the road. Now they're starting to play on the road more, and it's been tough on them. It's been tough. You know, they've clearly, you know, played a lot better at MSG. That might be because they've had a lot better competition at home compared to some tough road games. But right now, this team is just, you're hoping Porzingis can stay healthy as long as he can. He's got the elbow issue. It's clear he's going to need surgery. It's swelling up on him. I'm not sure how much longer he's going to be able to hang in there, you know, without having to take some time off. I think that's a problem. Obviously, they missed Kanter's rebounding and scoring the last few games. I think the goal this season should be to just hope Porzingis can play a full season. That's the goal. He's clearly a piece for the future. And you got to hope that some of these other guys, like Hardaway, who give big money to, and Kanter, who is, you know, a 25-year-old who they have to evaluate. Do they want him part of their future? He's a $20 million player option next year. I think he'll probably exercise that, but if not, they're going to have to decide what to do with him. Those are big pieces, and you got to hope those guys play extremely well and they can build around that and get another draft pick to go forward, because clearly this is not a championship team. This might be a playoff team if things go right. If not, there's nothing wrong with being in the lottery again.
Right. I think what we've seen early on from the team was very encouraging. I think it shows glimpses of what the team can be, which is a pass-heavy team with a reliance on KP in the late-game situations. And they're showing their youth. They're making the mistakes that they need to make. And I think this is what this season is about, to have those big leads and maintain them, and to also catch up when you're down 10 points. And like, they almost caught up to the Trailblazers yesterday. I mean, I'm still not a fan of them being down for so many points, but I think the team is showing the grit, the New York grit, as Porzingis once said.
At least when they're at home. On the road, they've melted down the last few days with the game in Atlanta. They just melted down in that one. And in Houston, I think they were up like 29-10, and they wound up getting beaten by 20. So
yeah,
they have had some tough games on the road. Let's move on real quick. Last thing, the Jahlil Okafor situation. People are saying that the Sixers kind of owe him a trade or a buyout. Do you agree with that?
I don't. I think they should seek whatever deal is necessary.
Eventually, if Embiid gets hurt, they're going to need him. They really want to... they don't want to just give him away for nothing. They want to get something for him. Teams have not been able to do that. So that situation is going to get resolved sooner rather than later anyway. I don't think it's something to worry about. That's going to do it for us, unless you have anything else to add, Chris.
No, that's it. We'll monitor the Marcus Gasol situation, and hopefully the Cavaliers lose and the Celtics lose and the Knicks win 30 straight and they're back in the playoffs
again. Yes, that would be very nice. Thank you for joining us on the All Hoops podcast. If you want a topic or question discussed in next week's show, leave it on Chris or my Facebook pages after we post the show online. Thanks again for the support, and we'll be back next week.
Bye, guys.